This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
O come, Emmanuel. Be with us. Take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. Take our hearts and souls and set them on fire with love for you. Amen. Please be seated. Late Friday afternoon, I picked up my little 4-foot Christmas tree from the youth group sale. I took it home and I trimmed off some of the lower branches and I set it in my new Christmas tree stand. I cleared off the little corner table in my living room and I set it up. And I don't usually decorate my tree this early, but I decided that this year I was going to do that. So I tidied up the living room, and I knew that Friday night I had to do something, so it wouldn't be done then. And then all day yesterday I knew that I would be working on my sermon. And so sitting in my living room yesterday, organizing the last little bits of what I wanted to talk about this morning, that simple little tree spoke to me. Like the writing we heard from Job. Ask the animals and they will teach you. The birds of the air and they will tell you. Ask the plants of the earth and they will teach you. That tree became a metaphor for me in three aspects of today's gospel. First, the wildness that the word of God came to John in the wilderness, out in nature. Secondly, the newness, that word of God was about making all things new as we look to Christ. And last, the beauty of creation, and our responsibility as Christians in caring for the earth we have been so graciously given. We'll look at each one as it relates to the gospel, and then how in the world it relates to us. How in the world indeed. So first, the wildness of creation. Luke sets up this scene and he emphasizes all the people in power, the Roman rulers and the Jewish religious leaders, Tiberius the emperor, Pilate the governor, Herod the ruler, Philip the ruler, Lysanias the ruler, priest Caiaphas and Annas, and on and on. These were the major power brokers of the day. It was a complicated time, and there was huge tension. The Romans wanted everybody to worship the emperor. The religious leaders didn't agree, but they really had no choice. Tax collectors were stealing from everyone, and the people were constantly being threatened and lived in fear for their lives if they didn't toe the line. They were tired of the oppression, and they were ready for change. And here comes this most unlikely prophet, this wild man, John the Baptist, out in the wilderness. He had given up the prestige and power of being the son of the priest Zechariah. He ate locusts and honey and lived in the wild. He knew Jesus, remember? He was his cousin. He knew this guy. Who better to tell the world to prepare the way for the Messiah? And from what better of a place? To this odd, lowly, humble, wild guy, the word of God came in the wilderness. And that word leads me to my second point. My little tree is fresh and new, evergreen and simple. Sitting there looking at it in the living room represented to me the cycle of life that we all share. As something dies, its essence goes back to the earth as compost and new life comes. In the Gospel of John, why he wants no attention for himself. He points to Jesus Christ. This word of God given to him is to give all the attention there and to keep turning back to him when we mess up. And back again, always new in Christ. He simply says, prepare the way of the Lord. Make the path straight. Smooth out the rough places by turning back to God in repentance. This word we've talked about many times, metanoia, which means just to reorient yourself, to just turn back again and again, turn yourself around, and all is made new. John proclaims in the wilderness this baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. We will baptize little Luke Alexander Tice at Unplugged today. His parents and godparents will promise to raise him in the Christian faith, to turn away from evil and embrace God's love in Christ Jesus. They will pledge to turn to God in all things, striving for justice and peace among all people, and respecting the dignity of every human being, to be witnesses to God's love in the world. In baptism, we let go of everything old, all our wrongs, and realizing forgiveness, commit ourselves, or those for whom we speak, to the newness of life in Christ, fresh and new. Which brings me to the third point. There's one area of the need for repentance that we all share as human beings on the planet today. My Christmas tree represented beauty, the beauty of creation. We've been asked to join with all the churches in our diocese this day and pray for the climate change talks going on in Paris right now. We heard Father Marty lead us in a prayer that was written by Desmond Tutu for this momentous gathering of close to 200 nations. It's the largest gathering of nations in United Nations history. We have been given water gathered by the scientists from melted glaciers in the South Pole that we will use in the preparation of our Holy Eucharist today. The beauty of creation and the urgency to reverse the emergency situation of rising global temperatures is the purpose for this unprecedented assembly. The goal is to come up with a universal commitment by December 11th with specific plans by country to not only commit, but to follow through to reversing greenhouse gases that are causing the Earth to heat up and affecting climate in dangerous ways as I speak. I spent a good portion of this week researching this topic, and I went to sites like National Geographic, the Union of Concerned Scientists, NASA, our top scientists, 99.5%, they estimate, have an undisputed consensus, and the undeniable effects of rising CO2 has prompted the biggest carbon polluters, meaning us and China, to finally say, okay, we're going to actually follow through, and we have a plan for committing to caring for our creation, because the effects are now being seen. I ran across a piece of paper. I was looking for something else in a file on the environment, and I ran across a piece of paper from 20 years ago of scientists warning about this, saying that by 2015, if we don't do something, this little window is going to be really small, and it is. We're already feeling the effects, rising sea levels, with many countries experiencing unusual flooding, severe droughts, increases in wildfires, destruction of coral reefs, plant and animal habitats changing, saltwater intrusion, and more. These facts, again, come from our best science. Check it out yourself. This talk on a day of baptism might seem very depressing, and it is. And it's absolutely perfect and crucial that we would be talking about this for little Luke, for all children. The good news is we still do have that very small window of opportunity to reverse the trend, but we all have to get on board. Amazing new ideas are coming to the fore, and they're exciting. Major philanthropists like Bill Gates and Mark Zuckerberg and others have already donated billions, they announced at the beginning of the talks. And this money will go to especially the poorest countries that really didn't cause this crisis and yet are being affected the most. I printed a sheet of the top 10 ways that we can personally help, put out by the Union of Concerned Scientists, and it's on a table in the narthex. Please pick up a copy and read it. Take it seriously. The Earth is crying out to us in the wilderness, asking us to repent, to turn around. Staying grounded in the realization that we are one people of one God, Richard Rohr writes this, and I quote, "Our very suffering now, our condensed presence in this common nest that we have largely fouled, may soon be the one thing that we finally share in common. It might well be the one thing that will bring us together politically and religiously. The earth and its life systems, on which we all entirely depend, might soon become the very thing that will convert us to a simple lifestyle, to necessary community, and to an inherent and universal sense of reverence for the holy. We all breathe the same air and drink the same water. There are no Jewish, Christian, or Muslim versions of these universal elements. This earth itself is indeed the very body of God. In fact, it is the only one we know of. Creation is the first Bible, which is asserted by the Bible itself." And he cites several examples. End quote. Last night, my son and his girlfriend did come over for dinner and help me decorate my tree, a ritual I used to do with my parents and they with theirs, now adorned with lights and ornaments. It gives me hope and peace that maybe, just maybe, we're finally willing to listen to the prophet, to repent, to turn back to God within our own hearts and in our own actions on behalf of preserving creation for our children and our children's children. Amen.